invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of John, chapter 14. And if you've noticed, we've been studying this whole time. We've been in the book of John, and we'll continue in the book of John through next week, Easter morning as well. But I also want to, lay just a little bit of groundwork for you this morning, because I want you to know where Jesus is at in the story of what's going on and what's happened and taking place. And so I want to do just a little bit of that here before we read Scripture, so you know where I'm at. So last week we did the series, I Am the Resurrection. And you remembered, if you read the story on, that he was preparing to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, and he's talking with Martha and Mary, and he's having that discussion. Of course, that miracle is performed. But right after that, the Pharisees see what Jesus has done, and they're not liking it. In fact, they gather as the Sanhedrin, which would be like the Supreme Court of the temple. And their goal now is to get rid of this so man called Jesus, because they do not like what's going on. And so as a result, they begin to plot to kill Jesus. In the meantime, Jesus and his disciples, they go into hiding for a little while. They lay low until the Passover, when they have to gather in Jerusalem for the Passover. And so 6 days before the Passover was supposed to take place, Jesus went back to Bethany, where a dinner was given in Jesus' name, in his honor, and Mary poured the expensive perfume on his head and so on, and on his feet, I mean, and she took her hair to wipe his feet clean and so on. And so then we get to the next day. Jesus leaves Bethany and he heads into Jerusalem, which we would know as today, Palm Sunday, as he enters the city triumphantly on a donkey, and where he is celebrated greatly. He goes into the city, and then while at the festival, he says that I'm going to die. And of course, people are shocked. They don't know why. And he preaches about his mission of why he came to earth. And after this, they went into the upper room. And I'm taking you through Holy Week now, if you follow along with me. And of course, they sit around the table, and they have the Passover meal. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He predicts his betrayal from Judas, and Judas would be the one that would betray him. He predicts Peter's denial. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. You're going to hear the rooster crow. And then he gets to this statement in John 14, because remember, he's in the room, and now he sees the heaviness of their hearts. And they don't quite understand what's going on. And Jesus speaks these words to them in John 14. And so here's where we pick up the story on that Thursday night, Monday, Thursday. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know why. You will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, probably roughly about 3 years, by the way, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The word I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. And, of course, let me just stop there for a moment. When he says that they will do even greater things than these, he's talking about the church that you and I are part of still today, is what he says. The church will do great things. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. The words of Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come into this sixth statement here this morning, Lord. Lord, you definitely are the I am. And I pray that your spirit will just be unleashed here again this morning, Lord. I pray that these words are yours, never mine. And Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your house and online today, Lord, that are listening, that you bless them with your spirit. May you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching today. And Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I got a familiar tune I want to share with you this morning, and you will recognize it, I believe.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong.
Now, most of you would love to keep singing, won't you? Right? How many, we got any John Denver fans in here this morning? Yeah, great song. I know you guys know the tune. If you would finish that tune, he goes on to say, where? What place is he talking about? West Virginia, right? How many of you long for home when you're away from it? Anybody, when you travel, you get away from a while, and after a while, you begin to long for home. And that song talks about that right there, that how he longed for home to go back to West Virginia. But, you know, for me too, when we travel, and I like to go see things and go to different places and so on, but I can do about 10 to 14 days, and then I need to go back home. That's just me. I long for the familiar things that I enjoy in life, my own bed and my own bathroom and those types of things. But I want to challenge you this morning that, and it's this next statement here, excuse me, let me back up one. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you've been born again, if you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of your sins, this world is not your home. It's not normal for you. Things are out of place. You will feel it. There might be times when it's uncomfortable if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And I don't have to tell you why, because you just know it. You just feel it, that the world is an ugly place. It's filled with sin. It's not what we know to be true about what God says about what heaven will be like one day. As John Denver says, take me home to where I belong, right? We belong in heaven, in the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want you to realize that as we come into this week, this holy week, remember this as we go. This is not our home. Jesus is about to face crucifixion, one of the most painful deaths imaginable. And yet, his concern is not for about what he's going to go through, but what John 14 says, he's seen the hearts of his disciples, his followers. They're heavy. They're burdened. They don't like what they hear. They don't understand everything that's going on. And that's a lot like you and I in our Christian walk as well this morning. And so Jesus, he begins to speak to their hearts. And I love, as I researched this week, you might find this quite fascinating. So he tells them that he's going away to secure their future destiny. Even though he's leaving, he'll be back. So here's what I want you to know in John 14, verse 1 through 4. This verse is so often preached in funeral messages. You know where he says that I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and when I'm ready, I'll come back to get you that you can be where I am, is what he says. But you need to know that your place is already ready. A lot of us have this mindset that we think that when we die, then God's finally got it ready for you and I, that, okay, he's come to get us now and it's ready. But what I want you to know is that through the work of Jesus on the cross, your place is already ready. Your room's just standing empty. And often I think that we don't always understand that as believers in Jesus Christ. And you're just waiting now for your date to arrive when you leave this earth, whenever that is. But Jesus is making a promise to us that your place is prepared. It's ready for your entry when you enter his presence. And so as we go in this morning, this is where I want to begin this conversation. We're going to start in John chapter 14, verse 5 this morning. And here's what it says. So they had this conversation about he's leaving and he's preparing a room for him. And then Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? A very good question. Now, back in Jesus' day, it was common for Jewish leaders, the rabbis, they knew the scripture well, and they'd have students that would follow them. And of course, Jesus' students were his disciples. Jesus was their rabbi. He was their teacher. And he taught them how to live and what this life was like to follow Jesus and live for the Father and all those kinds of things. And then Thomas, he just asked a simple question, just like you and I would ask. Well, we don't quite understand this. What do you mean you're going away? What do you mean you'll come back to get us? Explain to us just a little bit more so we can follow you and we can understand you. You know, Thomas is often betrayed as the doubter, and that's why he's called Doubting Thomas. He has a lot of questions. But you know what I think? That for you and I, we're just like Thomas. We have a lot of questions, don't we? And we don't always get the answers for them. We might have doubt in our faith journeys and understand what's going on in our lives and the things that we go through. How many of you, when you get yourself into a situation, or let's say that you need to go somewhere this week and you've never been there before, and you try to get as many facts as possible, right? Of maybe how to get there or how this is going to go or when this is going to happen. How many of you find comfort in knowing those things? Anybody? That's me big time. Some of you, I see you're laughing and you're smiling. You are blessed that if you can just go with the flow and just take it as it comes. I'm kind of envious of you. For me, if I'm going somewhere, for example, when we went to the Children's Hospital in Denver, we got to cruise all the way across Denver, and we're on the west side, and we got to get to the east side, I want to know my route. And in order for me to sleep well the night before, because I'm going there right away on Friday morning, I got my phone out, and I got the address in there, and I see the different routes we can go on, and I want to know what the best plan is for traffic and the least amount of construction and when I need to arrive and how quick I need to leave. And see, I want all those details worked out so I can be at peace with those types of things. You see, his disciples, they had all these questions because they weren't at peace with what Jesus said, that I'm going. I'm leaving here. And then they had all these questions that came out. And I want you to know today that our life is no different today as followers of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God reveals things to you and I. And he lets us know. And sometimes he chooses not to. And I believe that's done purposefully, that he calls us to rely upon him, right? And it kind of comes to this statement on the bottom of the screen here this morning. Faith is living in the unknown places of life and being okay with it because you know who walks with you and who holds tomorrow. Amen to that? To be able to journey where maybe you've never been. To go places that you don't always understand what might be going on and being okay with that because you know that Christ walks with you. That's where we see Thomas at today. It doesn't mean we can't ask questions. So let's dig further into this. This is the sixth I am statement that I'm bringing to you this morning. And Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to break this down. And I don't want to be repetitive in some of this stuff that we get into over the last few weeks. So I'm going to kind of twist it just a little different here this morning. I think that this is probably one of the most quoted I am statements that's in the Bible. People know this the best. You hear it most often talked about, this I am statement. But what Jesus reveals here is so important to you and I here this morning. And he says simply this, no one comes to the Father except through him. We learned about that a little bit last week and the weeks before, that he's the only way. So I want you to remember the context here that he's preaching this to and what's going on here. So Jesus tells his disciples he's leaving. He's going to prepare a place and he'll return. And they can't go with him now, but they'll follow later. And he's laying that all out, and it's pretty deep what's going on here. But he tells them that they'll know the way where he's going, which is into God's presence. And in order to get there, you're going to have to die. That's what he's alluding to. You're going to be in God's presence one day, Thomas, Peter. But for you to get there, you're going to have to go through death. And of course, we know that the disciples, they went through some tough things. The way that they were slaughtered and crucified and tortured and beat, all those types of things except for John. But they all experienced tragic, tough deaths in their life. And really what Jesus is saying here, this is how you get to the Father. This is what it's going to look like. I am the way into God's presence. And I'm the only way, is what he shares with them. So if that's the case then, what are we going to take away from this morning? In those three contexts of words, right? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so I want to just break those down to you this morning, each one, and talk about them a little bit, how it affects our lives. And so the first is, he is the way. Jesus is the exclusive way to God the Father. How many of you have been to Sioux Falls before? Anybody? That's a pretty basic question. If you haven't, you need to get out a little more. Okay, so how many ways are there to Sioux Falls? There's quite a few, isn't there? Right? So if we say that we want to go to the Olive Garden for dinner and we want to meet you up there, you would take your route, I would take my route, and somebody else would take another route, but we'd all get to the same place, right? To the Olive Garden. You know what I'm talking about in 41st Street? And we'd gather there, and we'd meet there, and we'd have a meal together, and we'd talk. We'd have a great time. And you see that there are many ways to the Olive Garden. And Jesus is saying, there's not many ways to God the Father. There's only one. Exclusively through me. You need to believe that I died for you on the cross and took away your sins, and that you are forgiven when you give your life to me. That's the exclusive way to Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at this a little bit differently here this morning. This is normally where we'd come into, you know, if you're a sinner, you got to ask for forgiveness, and you got to, you know, all, I could just pile it on this morning of how bad of a people that we are. In fact, I think I might have a verse that I can share with you that will kind of make us feel that way. Romans 3, verse 23. Before I say this, I want to say this to you this morning. I'm going to share with you kind of a tough verse that points out how sinful we are. But I also want to share with you this morning when Jesus says that I am the way, I want you to see grace. I want you to see love. I want you to see compassion. I want you to see mercy. Because what he's desiring for you and I is that we live in his presence in heaven eternally with him. That's what he wants. That's what his heart wants. He does not want to give you over to Satan's ways and for you to be cast into the pit of hell. That is not his desire. And so I want to share that with you. So for here's first the one that's hard to take in. Romans 3, verse 23, it says that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. You guys know that verse well, don't you? It's common that we hear that, we might see it. But do you know that it goes on to say this? Verse 24, the next verse. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. Now, it's easy to get hung up. We fall short, right? And we might leave here depressed and thinking, boy, am I good enough? I don't know. And you're not good enough, right? I can say that to you as well. And then it goes on when it says that. All are justified freely by his grace. That's what I want you to hang on to this morning. That's a free gift that's given to you and I that says, you know what? I desire for you to be with me in heaven is what Jesus is saying to us. Right? What Paul is writing here to the Romans and so on. That's what he wants us to take home as believers in Jesus Christ. Let me give you another one. Romans 6, verse 23. It starts out this way. The penalty for sin is death, right? Meaning that your spirit is dead, it's condemned to hell, and if you don't seek a revival through the Holy Spirit and through the renewing of Jesus Christ in your life, that we will one day be in eternal hell. That's what that verse says to you and I. But then it goes on to say this, the second half of that verse. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ through Jesus our Lord. That's where we need to dwell as believers. I don't need to tell you that you're a sinner, because you already know that. The Bible says that we are. But we need to hang on to the good news of Jesus Christ, especially through this week in our lives. And then Jesus goes on, and I'm jumping back to John 14, verse 7 here now, when he says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. It's through Jesus that we can have a relationship with the Father. And if you have that relationship today, I can tell you that you have eternal life today. Not tomorrow, today. And may you rejoice in that. Let's move to the second one here. Excuse me, I had these on the screen. Jesus is the exclusive truth. Boy, don't we need that today. Truth today is a very relative concept in our world. And I don't have to explain that very much because we hear all kinds of things about truth today. But I'm just going to show you biblically what that looks like. And I'm going to use the Bible to do that this morning. So I want you to think of Jesus' trial as he stands before Pilate. Get that image in your head. You know, that comes throughout this week as we get into Holy Week. And so here's what Jesus says to Pilate as he stands before him. Imagine him, he's beaten, he's in chains, he's got the crown on, he's been bloodied up. And Jesus says, I've come into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And you know what Pilate says to him? What is truth? Isn't that what our world is asking today? The same thing. Pilate asked the same thing to Jesus. What is truth? What is truth? And I can tell you today, truth is Jesus Christ. Amen to that. The end. That's exactly what the world needs to hear today, is that this is the way. This is the truth when he says it, that I am the truth. Because people follow all kinds of things today. They make up their own truth. So let me give you a kind of a modern day perspective of what I mean by truth in your life. Do any of you have a gluten intolerance in here? Some of you do, yeah. All right, very good. So look at it this way. This is how I can describe truth for you the best. Truth is truth, right? Jesus is truth. So if you have a gluten intolerance, that means that your body rejects gluten. It doesn't go well for you. When you consume gluten, it makes you feel terrible, and you can't have a lot of the things that normal people have, and you have to watch your diet. But let's say that, Deb, she raised her hand up here, so I can use her for an example. She has a gluten intolerance, but she sees this amazing cinnamon roll in front of her, right? It's filled with gluten. It's got glaze running over the side, or however you like it. If you want caramel, have caramel over it. But she knows she's got an intolerance, and she knows, I can't eat that. But she says for some reason that, you know what, I'm going to eat that today. And then she eats that cinnamon roll, knowing that she's intolerant to gluten, and then she gets terribly sick, right? Her body rejects it, and she feels terrible, and so on. And what her body is telling her is that you have an intolerance, and you don't have any control over it, because that is truth. That you have a gluten intolerance. And you can't change it. And I want you to know that today, Jesus is truth, and you can't change it. And neither can the world. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're exactly where you need to be in your faith walk. Because that's truth. Deb, don't go home and eat a cinnamon roll today. See, it's that simple. You can't change that fact, can you? It's reality. And I want you to know that Christ is truth. And you can rely upon that. I have a verse on the screen there, John 17, verse 17. It says that your word is truth, right? Sanctify them through thy truth, is what that scripture says to you and I this morning. Here's the third statement that he says in this phrase this morning, in this verse. Jesus is the exclusive source of life. How many of you ever got a letter in the mail that it says exclusive offer? Anybody ever gotten that? Yeah, we all have, right? Yeah. So here's the point I want to make to you today. Jesus is saying to you and I in the Word of God that I am the exclusive offer to life. Meaning that I'm the only way. And it's presented to you and I in the Word of God through the Spirit that you have this exclusive offer in your life. You know, as I put this together this past week, I thought, you know, unless Jesus returns first, every one of us are going to die. We're going to pass away at some point in our life. And God knows when that date will be. There's nothing that's out of place. There's nothing that will be as an accident. Nothing will be a surprise to him when he takes you home when that day comes. There's no avoiding it. Now, you might be able to go to the doctor. We might have medicines that will help you prolong it. But God has the exact time and day when that will happen. And your body will fail if you get old enough. And we live in the curse of sin, and we know that we won't live forever. And in last Sunday's I Am statement, does anybody remember what the I Am statement was last Sunday? I am the resurrection and the life. Exactly. There's one exclusive offer that you must receive from Jesus Christ, and this is it. I am the life. That offer is for you today. It's for you tomorrow. It's for you for eternity when you accept it. I am the life. There's no other path. There's no so-called other truth. It's an exclusive offer only through Jesus Christ to give you life. That's it. It's that simple. I can make it all fancy. I can make it however you want to. But that's the simple truth. No buts about it. No twisting it. No taking it out of context. That's it. The exclusive offer. Many of you have accepted that. Some of you maybe have not yet. And I pray that you do, especially throughout this Holy Week, that it will be a different kind of week for you as you go through this. And what he says to you and I is that if you want to be right with God, you want to find fulfillment and contentment, here's the offer. Whatever you're dealing with in life, here's the offer. You need peace? Here's the offer. You need healing for a broken spirit? Here's the offer. That's what he says to you and I through this verse here this morning. Here it is. Now remember who he's talking to. To his disciples. Knowing what Good Friday holds. They're still in that living room yet having a meal. And he's sharing all this stuff with them. Let me conclude this way this morning. So we know that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and Jesus is the life, but he's also inclusive. Now there's a difference between exclusive, right, means the only way, and there's inclusive, meaning that all can come. Doesn't matter how broken you are, doesn't matter how much you've sinned, doesn't matter the things you've done in your past. What he's saying is that the door is open for everyone who believes. He is inclusive for everybody in this world. Waiting for people to come to the door and to knock and to walk through it in their lives. And yet the world will say to you and I, You can follow whatever religion you want and it'll lead to heaven. But we know better. This last several weeks, we've been sharing that and talking about that. How many of you have an outline with you this morning on your back? Turn your outline over this morning. I want to finish with this. So Jesus is exclusive, right? He's the only way. And yet I said he's inclusive that all can come to him. And there's a question and an answer from Billy Graham this morning. Now, I'm not going to read it, but I am going to give you the question. And you go home and read the answer. Talk about it this week. Share it around your dinner table this afternoon. Here's what he said. And this is Billy Graham's question and answer. When it comes to Jesus Christ on the cross, that he's the only way. And so here's what it says. If Jesus willingly came into the world to die for our sins, then why did he try to avoid the cross and ask God to open up some other way? Remember when he said, Lord, please take this cup from me? Right? He said that to him. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's dripping drops of blood because he's so stressed out. And he prays to God the Father. For that matter, why didn't God simply forgive us and not bother with the cross? I want you to go home and read the answer. Why did Christ have to die for you and I? Why is it that he is the only way to God the Father? When he said to you and I, right? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. Choose the road that leads to home. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you praise for your Son today. We honor him. We glorify his name. We thank you for the work that's been done. We thank you for Palm Sunday, Lord, that he entered the city knowing what had to be done throughout this week. And Lord, I thank you for the conversation that he had with his disciples and how that's recorded for us in the book, in the Bible, Lord, and how we can take that out and we can discuss it and we can talk about it and how it teaches us who you are, but also how we should live. And so may you bless us with your presence today. Fill us with your Spirit. May you guide and lead our lives. And just prepare us for this week. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.